Blog Talk Radio.
The exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
Indeed it does. And we are live from the Polyester Pleasure Palace on the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my price range. It's Jim Valley. The show is Wrestling Road Stories. Back when the beer was cold, the rats were hot, people believed it was real, and we sold out everywhere. Everywhere! 4 out of 5 trailer parks approve each and every Wednesday of Wrestling Road Stories here on the PW Torch livecast. And we are here live. It's been a little while since we've been live, but we are live here today, live and free here on this Wednesday. What is it, the 18th of October, I think? That sounds right, yeah. The 18th of October here on this Wednesday, again on the shores of Lake Washington. And what a show do we have for you. If you've been listening to Livecast, you know I used to do a show called Saturday Morning Wrestling. And this is essentially the same show. Same guy, same topics, just different day, different name, because it's Wednesday, not Saturday, so I had to change the name. But it's pretty much the same show. And on the Saturday show, I was very excited, we had Rhonda Shear. You remember Rhonda Shear from USA's Up All Night? Well, she is going to be on the show today. Very excited to have Rhonda on. She's got a brand new book, not surprisingly. It's called Up All Night. You probably remember Rhonda from the cable TV show on USA Network where they would show the old movies. And she was also at WrestleMania 10. She was the guest timekeeper at WrestleMania 10. And she did some backstage interviews and some other personality pieces for WWF back in the day, back in the mid-90s. I think a lot of it has to do with the relationship that WWF had with USA. And they wanted to co-promote Ronda and have Ronda promote WWF and just this corporate synergy thing. Yes, they even had that way back in the 90s, believe it or not, 25 or so years ago. But they did. And Rhonda has gone on her successful career as a comedian, a successful career as a host, and now she's an incredibly successful entrepreneur. She's got a line of women's lingerie and sportswear and clothing, and she's on QVC quite a bit, and you know she could pretty much write her own ticket. So she's got a pretty great book talking about her life as an actress. You know, she was in Spaceballs and a lot of other B-movies that were a lot of fun back in the day. And, you know, the last time she was on the show, she talked about how we talked about her career in wrestling and she was still writing her book. And she said on the air that she was probably going to go back and add some more wrestling to the book, which so we'll ask her about that to see if she did indeed write some more wrestling on the book. So Rhonda Shear is coming up in just a few minutes with me, Jim Valley. Don't forget, follow me on Twitter, at Jim Valley. You can go to Twitter and follow me, at Jim Valley, G-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. You can also add me on Facebook. Usually we have like the same friends, you know, Bruce Mitchell, Wade Geller, Pat McNeil, whomever. I'll be able to figure it out and I'll add you. But if by chance we don't have the same friends on Facebook, send me a message so I know that you're not a webcam girl or you're going to try to spam me or you're a Nigerian prince or something. And I'll add you right away. It's no problem. But I just get tired of all the bots and all the webcam girls on Facebook. It's just getting old. kind of reminds me of the MySpace days and all that was going on. But so anyway, follow me on Facebook, follow me on the Twitter at Jim Valley. And coming up in just a little bit, we will talk to Rhonda Shear from the USA Network, from cable TV, from comedy, from so much more. And she will take up all night here on the very popular Wrestling Road Stories here with Jim Valley on the PW Torch Livecast each and every Wednesday.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events. And then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Does anyone do a written recap of this podcast, I wonder? Let's see here. Let me write it down. Let's see. The host said some stuff. Said some more stuff. Rhonda Shear came on. She was great. The end. That's going to be the show today. That pretty much is the synopsis right there for Wrestling Road Stories. Rhonda Shear coming up in just a couple of minutes. I want to let you know about something else I'm doing outside of the Torch, but with a good friend of the Torch by the name of Fumi Saito. He is the premier wrestling journalist in Japan and one of the premier wrestling historians throughout the world. I mean, he has studied wrestling like you wouldn't believe. He can talk about Carl Gotch. He can talk about Ricky Dozan. And this month, something interesting is happening in Japan. Antonio Inoki, and I guess this is something that is not incredibly common, but not unheard of in Japan. Antonio Inoki is going to have sort of like this memorial farewell show coming up this month in Japan. And so we're going to talk about Antonio Inoki coming up on a new podcast that I'm doing with Fumi Saito. It's called Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. The Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find it on my Twitter, at Jim Valley, or you can search for it, Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on Podbean. And we're also on iTunes, of course. So that means we load into Podcast Addict and all that stuff. You can download it. You can find it just with a search with Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. The latest episode is kind of interesting, I think, in that, you know, Fumi is pretty plugged in, obviously, in Japan. And we talk about the future of Shinsuke Nakamura. Now that he lost to Jinder Mahal at the last pay-per-view, what does the future hold for Shinsuke Nakamura? Does he go back to Japan? Does he slide down the ladder in the WWE? What does it mean for him? And Fumi has got some interesting takes on the future of Shinsuke Nakamura in the World Wrestling Federation, and perhaps more and most interestingly of all, what's going to happen with New Japan and Shinsuke Nakamura. So check it out. It's called Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find us on Podbean. You can find us on iTunes. And you can find us pretty much anywhere you download your podcast. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling, if you're a fan of wrestling history, or you're a casual fan of Japanese wrestling and just want to keep up to date, this is a good starting point. You know, with the popularity of New Japan wrestling and things happening in Japan, a lot of people go, where do I start? How do I start? Where do I get into Japan wrestling? And probably a good place to start is with the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. It's absolutely free. We've done two episodes so far. It's about an hour, and you can check it out. Again, you can download it on Podbean, and you can also find it on iTunes, Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. And you can also follow me on Twitter, at Jim Valley, and get more information on that. So please check out that other project. I'm still here, still going to be on the Torch, not going anywhere. It's just something I wanted to do with Fumi Saito, who's a good friend of Wade Keller's, because back in the day, Fumi, who is Japanese, for a time in the 1980s, lived in Minnesota. He was an exchange student So he's a really cool guy. He knows a ton of stuff. He's super knowledgeable, and every week we have a pretty intelligent conversation talking about the world of pro wrestling. So it's called Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. Check it out. You can find it and download it through iTunes. And be sure to join me each and every Wednesday here on the live cast, Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. Coming up in the next couple of weeks, we'll have Brian Blair on from Cauliflower Alley, the former wrestler from Florida and the former Killer Bee. Or I guess he's still a, I guess he wears the jacket still. I guess he's still a Killer Bee. We'll have him on in the future. Next week, with the announcement this week and the release this week of WWE 2K18, I wanted to talk some pro wrestling video games. And I have spent too much money on pro wrestling video games. I have got a WrestleFest arcade game in my house. I have got a Matt Mania in my house, combined with a Mania Challenge video game from the 80s in my house. I mean, I've played pretty much every wrestling video game. I mean, pretty much from the beginning. I've spent a ridiculous amount of money on pro wrestling video games. And I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts called the WCW Retrospect with David Anderson, and they were talking about wrestling video games. And so next week I'm going to have the guys on from WCW Retrospect talking pro wrestling video games, which is one of my favorite topics. So if you like wrestling video games, we're going to talk all of them, from tag team wrestling to pro wrestling on the NES to the Super NES, to, I mean, everything. We'll cover, of course, No Mercy. We'll cover the WCW games, all the stuff. If you played the pro wrestling video games like I did, you want to tune in next week and check it out. It's going to be a fun topic. You know, I mean, the guy from, you know, David Anderson is a great guy. Certainly not like the biggest star in the world or something like that. But the topic is a lot of fun. If you like pro wrestling video games, then tune in, because that's one of the best parts to me about being a fan. I mean, because now it's coming out, the new WWE 2K18. I hear it's all right, but it's coming out for the Nintendo Switch, and to have a full-blown console game in a portable video game system, that's pretty awesome. That's a magical time. I mean, I remember when wrestling video games were a big deal, and they weren't licensed. Of course, remember the ones for the NES, for the WWF games? Those sucked, didn't they? Those were brutal. Those were terrible. But we'll talk wrestling video games. You can call in and talk about some of your favorite memories and some of your favorite video games. I'm looking forward to that. It's something I love to talk about with wrestling fans, and hopefully you will join us live next Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast Wrestling Road Stories as we talk wrestling video games. Stand by, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we got Rhonda Shear from USA's Up All Night.
Thank you for being a PW Torch Livecast listener. As of mid-July 2017, the PW Torch Livecast lineup has undergone some changes. My shows have moved to a new feed, the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available at Podcast One, or just search Wade Keller in your podcast app. But there's tons of great content every week, including Saturdays at 6 Eastern, the new Deep Dive with Rich Fan, covering a single topic in professional wrestling in depth. Join him live with phone calls at 6 Eastern every Saturday. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern, it is Wrestling Night in America with Pat McNeil and Greg Parks, where they focus on the supercards, the big events coming up in pro wrestling, or review the latest one. That's at 8 Eastern, or following a live pay-per-view, if there's a live pay-per-view on that Sunday. And then check out MMA Talk for Pro Wrestling Fans every Monday night at 7 Eastern, hosted by Mike Hisko and other MMA Torch contributors. It's a chance for fans of both pro wrestling and MMA who share that in common to talk about the latest happenings in the world of mixed martial arts. Tuesdays, it's the best of PW Torch Livecast, a handpicked episode from our history that gives you a chance to catch up on a show you might have missed back in our earlier years. And then the PW Torch Nostalgia Hour with Jim Valley is back. It used to be called Saturday Morning Wrestling. Now it's Wednesdays at 5 Eastern. He takes your live calls and interviews some of the big names from pro wrestling's past. And then Thursday nights, following GFW Impact, it's Mike McMahon and Andrew Sochak with a recap of the just concluded Impact Wrestling show on Pop TV. So as soon as Impact goes off the air in the United States on Pop TV, join Mike and Andrew live right here at PWTorchLivecast.com. They'll be taking your calls. That's the new lineup of the PW Torch Livecast. Great diverse mix of shows with a great group of hosts. Keep listening and keep spreading the word and give us a 5-star rating over at iTunes with some kind comments in the listener comment section about which shows you like and why. That's PW Torch Livecast, new lineup. Thanks for listening, everybody.
And we're back here on the PW Torch Livecast. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Road Stories each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. We take you back to the past, some of your best memories, some of the fondest memories. And I'm so excited. I talked to her, I don't know, maybe a little over a year ago or so, plus or minus, and she was just working on her new book. And after she talked to us, talked to the wrestling fan, she was like, you know, I think I need to go back and maybe add some more wrestling. You remember her from the WWF in the mid-90s. You remember her from WrestleMania 10. You remember her from Spaceballs and countless movies. She is now an incredibly successful entrepreneur with her own line of clothing. I just have a ton of admiration for her. But I know that she knows this, and we all know this. But most of all, we know and we love Rhonda Shear when she kept us up all night. Rhonda, I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on. Awesome.
I'm so glad you're
really
back.
Do.
I really, talking to you last time was a huge thrill. I got so much feedback from the fans. They just adore you like I do. Now you finally,
those early years were great of wrestling. They were in their formation years. They were just wonderful. I loved doing WrestleMania 10. It was so exciting. It's still exciting, but there was just something so magical, you know, with Burt Reynolds there, and it was just neat. It was just, I do have some pictures in the book, you know, from the wrestling years and with some wrestlers, and also I do talk about it because it was part of my life, and USA Network covered it, and covered it really well back then, but it's great to be on with you again, reminiscing.
Now, when we talked last time, you said you were going to add some more wrestling to the book, so it sounds like you went back and did that.
I did. And the book is interesting because, it took over a year and a half to write it. Because, you know, you stop, life gets in the way, you start, you go, I mean, then you write. But the first version of the book was completely autobiographical, and it had probably even more stories, just more stories about everything. And I sent it to my agent, and he loved it. He goes, wow, you've done more than anybody I know. And today's market and book sales, I would like you to add in some kind of like what was going on in the back of your mind as you went through these different episodes and things in your life, you know, starting with Beauty Queen and running for public office and what was going on through my mind when I posed for Playboy. And so that just gave it a deeper layer there. And it was really kind of fun for me to go back. So what I did was I chapter by chapter, you know, when I get into stories, I have like the bubble over my head where this is what I was thinking when I was doing some of the things. And then at the end of each chapter, I have life lessons, things that I learned from each episode, whether it be, you know, first job or first love or, you know, running for public office and beauty pageants and then taking that into Hollywood and stand-up comedy and then, you know, then on to being an entrepreneur. So it has a lot for everybody. It's extremely inspirational for anyone who wants to do anything or change their direction in life or reinvent or change their career. It gives just a lot of, you know, because I was told I was too sexy to do this. I was too curvy to do that. I was, you know, I was always too something, you know, that I never had it right, you know, according to other people. And if I would have listened, I would have just packed my bags and never have done anything, including even starting the business that I'm in now. It was like, well, you know, you're not a designer. You didn't major in fashion. And how can you do this? So I proved them wrong with that too. So basically the book has a lot of tips for anybody starting anything at any point in their life. So I've gotten great feedback from press, and I'm super excited about it. And we just launched really like a week and a half ago. And we're on Amazon.com. It's called Up All Night, except it's called Hollywood Bombshell to Lingerie Mogul, Life Lessons from an Accidental Feminist. Of course, you can just put in Rhonda, you know, Up All Night by Rhonda Shear, and it'll come up. but the subtitles a little bit longer, but it just says everything that I want people to know when they pick up the book that they're going to be getting a dose of. A lot of funny moments in it and a lot of Harvey Weinstein moments in it, not with Harvey, but, you know, back in the day when I had the casting couch situation. So it's very topical about what's going on in the current scene out there.
Well, and not only that, but it's also topical in the sense that you obviously knew Hugh Hefner.
But Hugh Hefner, you know, it's like you would think Hugh Hefner would be the one that would be have the harassment. And that never. Was always a gentleman and completely was the one. I can say that so much of my life and career changes were because of Hugh Hefner and Playboy, even though I was never a playmate. And that was, it was another route. You know, I'd post a Playboy with my clothes on in New Orleans years ago. And then I was holding some title. And when they saw that my picture was in the Playboy, they just dethroned me. I might've gone over that with you back in the day. But from that point on, Playboy started writing about me. And they thought they got the biggest kick that even with all my clothes on, like this big ball gown, that this title was removed. So for years, Playboy would write about me. Whenever I'd get a part out in Hollywood, they'd put me in the back of the magazine. They'd run a picture. And then finally, when I was fighting in my stand-up comedy days about stage time, because I was people kept telling me, you're too sexy to be funny. Who's going to listen to you? They're just going to look at you. And I was really making headway in the clubs, but the bigger television producers that were doing comedy shows and managers were just really giving me a rough time. And so I went to Playboy and I said, let's just throw it at him. I said, can we do Women of Comedy? I went to Hef and he loved it. He loved mixing humor with sassy and sexy. And then Playboy, you know, they did a national search of comedians, and then I gave them a few of my friends that showed up in the magazine. And then at that same time, like a year later, Up All Night took off, so then they came back to me with a celebrity pictorial, which I did, called Rhonda's Up All Night, and it was really popular. And then my fee for my stand-up kept going up. And then, you know, so finally, I made my way on my own terms in a world where it was basically the Paula Poundstones and the Roseanne Barr, I mean, hysterical women, but they weren't going the sassy route. And I was this was before Jenny McCarthy or Amy Schumer or any of these gals today who've been able to be themselves.
Yeah, I see you were sort of the precursor to today's Whitney Cummings, who just produced the sitcom,
right.
Produced Two Broke Girls. I see you as sort of, you know, paving the way for somebody like her.
I was. And actually, back early on, Jenny McCarthy did give me credit for that, you know, because she was probably she was the first mainstream, you know, that, I mean, maybe it wasn't all out stand-up comedy that she did, but she was doing, you know, sexy and humorous, and no one else had done that, you know, so.
Yeah, but the difference is you're funny, Rhonda. You're funny. Jenny,
Well, she thinks she's a comic.
She thinks she's a lot of things, but anyway, I don't want to ruin this interview talking about her. Let's talk about the Up All Night is how you crossed over into the world of wrestling. It was a cross promotion with USA, wasn't it?
Right. That's really what it was initially. And then it seemed like it was just a win-win on both sides. The wrestling world seemed to embrace me. The campiness of my character went with the campiness of the characters of wrestling back then. And, you know, all the Shawn Michaels and, oh my God, you have to remember all the names I was with. I mean, I know I was like, I had an affair. Who was it with? I can't remember.
Shawn Michaels, I think they pitched you. Was it
Shawn
Michaels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was Shawn Michaels. I mean, so we did all these crazy things, these shoots in Las Vegas where like he's looking in the mirror and I'm looking in the mirror. It was just crazy, fun stuff. And they were so awesome to me. I mean, everyone in that world was respectful, you know, with all the things that you always think, like, you know, behind the scenes. I never had any, and no one was inappropriate. Everyone was sweet. They always embraced me when I interviewed them. And we did at least 6 or 7 different things with them. And then they came on the show independently and would promote the show, or I would go to their matches. But WrestleMania, of course, was like the biggest thing that I did, which was just so cool. And
I didn't realize this, how involved you were. When I looked up pictures, Rhonda Shear and WWF, I saw you with Doink the Clown, and I saw you with King Kong Bundy. And I saw you were with, like, you had the whole circus. You got the whole circus,
I did. I did, and it was like, that's what I'm saying. It was like those early days of, like, these really big characters, and it, I think, set the tone for now. I mean, I could be wrong, but from what I see, and I just, I love them. They were so cool to hang with, too. I need to actually, you know, go on the road with them a little bit and eat out with them and everything. And I was just, I mean, I don't know how they still eat today and was going to be eating food, but I just remember we were in Las Vegas at some shoot, and these guys would, like, get this stack of pancakes and this stack of prime rib, and I'd be like, wow, they're going to eat it. And they did. And I'd go, I need my carbs, I need my protein. Like, my God, they ate like that today. Everybody was like, you know, and then they had the corny talk between them, which is like kind of their own language, but it was kind of very much a surface talk. There's different words that I learned, and it was just a really unique world. And I'm glad I was part of it. I really am.
You're breaking up a tiny bit, just a tiny bit. There we go. That's a little bit better.
Okay.
We're talking with Rhonda Shear from USA's Up All Night. You know, it's so funny when people talk to me about Up All Night, when I told you you're going to be on the show, it's, you know, it seemed so exciting and so, you know, cutting edge back then that you had, you know, all of these choices for television and everything. And you look back now and it's like, it's amazing to think that the USA Network, one of their hottest shows was this female comic in character, in producing campy movies, these B movies going in and out, and that was, you know, a hit show on television back
then. It was a hit show, and it paid for the Weird Sciences and the Femme Nikitas. It was this little cash cow. It didn't cost them a lot to make. The network kind of let us do our own thing. The woman who was at the helm then was a woman by the name of Kay Koplowitz. If you Google her, she's this incredible businesswoman, and she started Madison Square Gardens TV, and then she started USA Network. So she was a trailblazer female. Just went on to do amazing things, and she's one of the people who gave me the nod and hired me, and so gave me a chance. And she actually endorsed me. In my book is a quote from her. So, you know, it's pretty amazing that I got to work with people that went on, like one of my writers went on and he produces Bill Maher now, and a guy named Dean Johnson, and so many of the writers went on to do really big things, and just people that were on that show. I mean, I found a clip the other day, Paul Rudd was on it. I mean, you name it, everybody, Caitlyn Jenner, pre-Caitlyn, with his wife. I mean, they had just gotten married. It's just crazy the stars that came through that show. We promoted everybody shamelessly, and it was great. I loved it. I gave a lot of young actors, you know, their start, and so much fun for me to help young people because they, you know, I know what it's like when you're looking for footage or video of yourself, anything, and just very cool that. So I did 450 shows. That's like unheard of today. I mean, even if you did years on a sitcom, you tape 22 per season and then you're down. We never were down. We tape 52 weeks a year. So very cool time in my life. And also for Gilbert Gottfried. I don't know if he pays as much attention to it as I do. I don't know if he credits as much as I do, but I love those years.
How long did it take you to, I mean, obviously there's Rhonda Shear, the woman, and then there's Rhonda Shear, the persona that we saw on TV, the woman who obviously is playing a dumb blonde, but then there's a subtext there that she understands what's going on.
Right.
How long did it take you to craft that Rhonda Shear persona?
Well, you know, when they first cast it, they had this girl who I thought was really good on. Her name was Caroline Schlitt, and there's people who really love her to this day. I mean, she was only on for about a year and a month or two. And then the network has had nothing to do with me. They wanted more sex appeal to the character. She was very much today's kind of comic. But at the time, maybe she was ahead of herself. And, I mean, it was obviously good for me. So they wanted more sex appeal. So I knew they wanted more sex appeal. So I was so tired of playing against type and not getting things that I just went full out and made fun of it. So it was, if you really watched it week by week, you realize that I was self-deprecating and I would make fun of myself. And it was making fun of the big blonde image. And I said a lot of smart things. In the early years, it was a little bit dumber. Then it got, you know, by 93, 94, we were really getting really some sharp writing on there. And I mean, all the way to the end, 98, I mean, it really, it grew, and I grew as a performer in all those years as well. But the early, early years, I think they remember the very, I mean, I always had did up all night, or rather up all night squeaky. But the only thing that I did wrong, I guess in retrospect, is that I used my real name instead of like Elvira, who came up with this, you know, Elvira. And instead of me calling it Bambi or whatever, you know, because when I went out for regular roles during my years on Up All Night, that's what hurt. It was really hard to get cast because people saw me in, they didn't know. They didn't know if I was this, if I was the character or what they saw, they perceived the character to be. So they would get confused. So that kind of hurt. It didn't hurt me in stand up, but for theatrical roles, it helped in that I played a lot of myself. I played myself on a lot of things like Weird Science and a lot of the USA Network shows. But all the parts that I was getting before Up All Night, it was then harder to get guest starring roles. But, hey, I have no regrets. I had tons of I worked from the moment I got to L.A. to the moment I left, 26 years. Worked as a stand-up comic for many. Still delve in it every now and then. I'll do a show or two when I have time. And then – you know, doing this business where I create and design for women who reach out to me and thank me for making them feel so good about themselves, or whether they've had breast cancer or just that they've, you know, they feel really sassy again, has been incredibly rewarding under the Rhonda Shear brand. And then I just wanted to write the book to talk about it. And maybe it'll get sold as a movie. Who knows? Look at all the characters. We'd have wrestling characters. We would have politicians in. We would have actors. It would be so rich with characters. It'd be fun because, you know, my friend Joy Mangano, that's the movie Joy that came out couple of years back with Jennifer Lawrence. I mean, she was up for an award for that. I mean, a lot of that was from her true life. And Joy, a very successful woman on shopping television. And she also endorsed me on the back of the book, which was very cool. So, I mean, I figure, you know, Joy's story was good. And I have a very similar story in, you know, well, not similar, but similar in just, you know, changing or reinventing and then finding a second career that was just as rewarding to me. But I still get to be funny and I get to be me. And I'm not stopping yet. I love what I'm doing. I'm getting ready to do a book signing in New Orleans for any of your New Orleans listeners on October 27th at the Royal Orleans Hotel from 7 to 10 p.m. And then on October 28th, I will be at Barnes & Noble in Metairie. So I'm really excited, getting a lot of New Orleans press right now. And right now, the book, you can get it at Amazon.com and or HSN.com, soon to be distributed in bookstores all over. But Amazon's so easy, and it's Amazon Prime. You can get it overnight, and then please review it.
Absolutely. You know, if you were to let you talk about a potential movie and writing this book, if you were to say there was an overriding theme after maybe something you didn't realize as you were putting everything to paper and once you got it done, what do you see as the overarching theme of your life and thus this book, Up All Night?
Never to give up, because I was told at every turn in my life that I couldn't do things. So I feel like all of us go through that at some point, whether it's getting a new job, maybe a new beau or a new female person. I mean, you know, never to give up. Like, you just have to go for it. And that was the only thing. When I reunited with my husband, through classmates, he was my high school sweetheart. And we reunited 16 years ago after I had never been married. And we got married. The one thing that we had in common, and maybe it's from our childhood, was this incredible tenacity to not stop. And we just believed in ourselves and that we would make money. And both of us we had made money and then we had lost money, just kind of the ebb and flow of life. And we started completely from ground zero. I mean, no one gave us anything. We started from nothing. I mean, we had a couple of $1,000. That's it. And we just kept reinvesting into the business and grew the business to $100 million business. It's not consistently that every year, but in 2012 for a couple of years, I mean, now we ebb and flow with, as all businesses do, but we never dreamed we would have the success that we have. So I think it's about having success. And even though people, maybe things go on in your life, like I was fired off a TV show and I talk about that in the book by Henry Winkler of all people, but you know, you take two steps backwards, but then it just pushes you to fight harder. So I think that was the theme of my life. And that's definitely the theme of the book. Even though it has funny stories and wrestling and it's rich with all the characters, there's definitely the whole book is about what I learned and what everybody can learn through life if they just really listen. So hopefully people would go with a couple of like little ones of knowledge that they'll be able to use in their own lives. I'm very proud of it. It's very exciting to write a book. And I know it's hard when people think of you as the host of Up All Night or with, you know, as a wrestling fan or whatever that they may not realize, but that I can write. Well, I wrote all my own stand-up. I love writing. I've always loved writing. So I used to write even for Doll Magazine because I used to collect dolls through the years. But so writing is definitely a passion of mine. It's something I've never stopped doing. And I'm getting ready to actually write another book right now, probably more aimed at women, about women's body image and how we feel about ourselves at different points in our lives. But it'll be funny too. I mean, it'll have great tips in it because I come across so many women with such low self-esteem, and then women with high self-esteem, and so it's just really interesting. I want to talk to those ladies in the book and have some fun with it, and you know that it doesn't really matter. You know, it's really what's on inside, because we do age and we change through life, and that's okay. We can't beat ourselves up at every turn in our lives. So that's the next book. But right now, everybody has to get up all night, the book.
Well, one of the things, when I had you on the show last time, I watched some QVC, and I was fascinated. Because
yeah, it's interesting.
You're promoting your lingerie wear and your women's active wear, and these women are calling up, and it's just interesting to see the contrast between the Rhonda Shear character, the persona that was
right
on TV and up all night talking to the camera, and then the real Rhonda Shear, who is talking
right
to her fans / customers / TV friends.
Mm-hmm.
And they really relate to it. It was just interesting to contrast sort of the brassy polyester plastic of the Rhonda Shear character versus, like you said, you've changed and this is where you've evolved to, and just the
right
two different styles of communication. I thought it was fascinating to me.
Very interesting point. Thank you. I mean, that's really interesting. Even I haven't thought of that, but I'm completely real on air with my ladies. And what's great about that is, I mean, what's great is that they do relate to me telling it like it is. But that's also years of stand-up and being in front of audiences and being at ease in front of the camera. But, you know, I'm selling intimate apparel and I'm selling things that's the first thing that they put on next to their body in the morning. So I have to talk about it. And a lot of people are, you know, could be squeamish. So I like to do it with levity and fun, but I talk about my own life. So I still get to use some of the self-deprecating humor in it. And you still have to keep selling because that's the business model of HSN I'm on, but actually they were just bought by QVC, which is interesting. So now it is QVC HSN, but HSN is located in Florida. And that's where we're located. But, I love it. I love the fact that it's so real and I can be just me as me, you know, just really raw and get down. And so I sold the books the other night for the first time during a big sale that I had, which was called the Today Special. And we sold a lot of books and usually books don't sell that well on HSN, I was told. And I really took that as an honor that my ladies who have been watching me wanted to read, you know, more. I've talked about different things through the years, but that they wanted to know more. And I was really excited about that. And,
but
it is completely real. That, I mean, it's not a character. It's really, it's just me being me. I don't memorize anything. It's funny. A lot of people that go on the air that are spokespeople that have been doing it for years. I mean, we own the brand. I'm not a spokesperson for HSN. Actually, my husband and I own the business and we manufacture and design everything from scratch. And then we sell it to HSN. And then I go on air to sell it. But it's funny how so many people that have been doing this for years, it's actually so memorized. And it's like, for me, it's from, I know my product, so I don't need to memorize. I know everything about it. I've designed it. So when I go on, I just go on freewheeling and I take whatever's in the moment and go with it. I love that. And I'm on about 10 hours a month or more, which is a lot. Think about that. I've been on for 16 years, 10 hours a month at least. It's a lot of live air time. It's pretty crazy. I've been fortunate. So, I've been very lucky.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
You got to tell us what one of your most iconic roles and one of the things that people always quote you is Spaceballs.
Yeah, isn't that the craziest? One line. They're showing it out in a park tomorrow in where I live. They do these outdoor movies, and I have so many friends going to it. And of course, they know all the words. And I did a bunch of B films, and I was on all the shows in the 80s, like Happy Days and Three's Company, and a lot of people remember that, but. Definitely Spaceballs is the most memorable. And all I did was I ordered a Luna fish sandwich. But the fun part about that was that producer, what's his name? Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks literally cast every role himself, even one line. Like he sees every actor. So I wanted to read for the waitress in that same scene. And he said, no, your hair is dark. My hair was dark at that time. And I said, but that's okay. I can wear a wig. He goes, no. Just show up to the set and I'll find you some line. He goes, I really like you and I think you're funny. I want to use you. But he didn't know. He just tossed the line to me and maybe a couple of others, but that was the one that remained. And it was just a great experience working with him and watching John Candy and just very cool, especially the diner scene, but very cool man. And you never know, like a little part like that can become so famous.
That's right.
People go and they say every word of the film. It just blows my mind.
Yeah, it's a cult. It's a cult classic.
Right.
Which character were you on Happy Days?
Oh gosh, I did about three or four Happy Days, and I just played. I don't even remember the names. I was never regular, but I was like,
yeah.
I did. I played Fonzie's girlfriend. I played Donnie Most's girlfriend. I was in this. One that was about vaudeville, so I played different characters in it. And it was like the best years of my life. I mean, the best year I was having. They kept calling me and using me over and over until Henry Winkler actually fired me off the set because I got a commercial the day before the taping, and I told everybody, I asked Jerry Paris and Gary Marshall and the casting director. I said, I got this national commercial for Kentucky Fried Chicken. And commercials take great residuals. And I'm 23 years old and you need the money. And I said, you rehearse from Monday, you tape on Friday, and I've been rehearsing. And so I said, what do you all think? I said, I will turn down the commercial, of course. But I just wanted to ask, since this is a part that it was a smaller part, but I was Henry's, I was his girlfriend. So I was in every scene with him, but I only had like one line. And most of the time we were just holding hands and making out. Anyway, long story short, everybody knew but Henry. So on Thursday, which is the day that we taped the commercial, the fried chicken commercial, was their, one of their walkthroughs. And I wasn't there and he flipped out and he had me fired, but no one called to tell me. So that the next day I show up on the set, my name's not on the door. And I finally find like a set, a stage manager. And he said, well, Henry wants to speak to you in his dressing room. I had no idea what was going on. And I walk in and he said, look, if you're going to be a serious actress, you can't do a commercial. I said, but Henry, I asked everybody and I said, no, he said, it shouldn't have come from them that they said, yes, it should have come from you. You should have said, I'm an actress and a commercial doesn't mean more to me. And I'm thinking to myself at the time, you're really rich. It may not mean something to you, but it means something to me, but anyway, I was crying and bawling and he just made this other girl on the set. He made her Screen Actors Guild right then and there. He goes, I'm going to teach you a lesson because this happened to me in college. I'm thinking in college, but this is real life. So from that point on, I didn't get called in for Mark and Mindy or Laverne and Shirley or any of those shows. Because of what he did, which was really a shame because it was one thing to teach me a lesson and even say that to me. But another thing that he had me, first of all, that he even had the power to do that when all of his superiors said it was fine. But the show was so big and he was such a big star at the time they listen to him. But one of the things that was a setback to me, both emotionally and I think career-wise, that was definitely because I was starting to get so many parts and they were just starting to use me over and over. So, you know, but I don't fault myself. I mean, I did everything that I think was proper at the time. And I disagree with him. I mean, if I wouldn't have asked anybody then and just taken it, yeah, that would have been another thing. But I went through all the right rules and I did everything right. And I just think he was really mean and nasty.
Have you
and
seen him
my
since?
Henry Winkler story. I'd love to. And it's funny. I've told this story more recently than I ever did years ago. But I was telling the story when I won Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year to a reporter. And he loved the story so much that he called Henry's publicist to get a quote. And the lady said, there's no way Henry would have done that. He's just an actor back then. I mean, she didn't ask Henry. She just said that. And I said, yeah, well, let me confront him because I would love to. So I'm waiting for that opportunity. that would be really interesting. But I've heard other stories about him similar, not similar like that, but, you know, not that he wasn't so nice to certain people. So I had a feeling. I mean, he that was just very hurtful to do to a young girl for no reason. I did everything right. And I'm not one. I mean, I believe in being on time and punctual, and I've always been completely professional. And what's going on in Hollywood's kind of crazy, all this stuff. And I have a lot of casting couch stories in the book. And the one thing I never would have done was meet someone in a hotel room. No, you just don't do that.
Well, and you know, we got a few. We'll let you go in just a second. But I mean, in the 1980s, you know, things were much different as far as social mores, as far as dynamics between men and women, between bosses and employees, and things like
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
And certainly things aren't great now. But I guess my point is, it was probably even worse then.
It probably was. Because there was no one to complain to. There was no voice. I didn't have social media that I could have tweeted something that even insinuated something. There was no one. And it was the jiggle era with Charlie's Angels and everybody, you know, not complaining because I use that, but that's because you couldn't do anything else. Women's roles were very sparse that were media or that certainly if you're just starting out, you're going to get a lesser role. And it's going to be, especially with my look and at the time that I couldn't ever go against, it was sexier. So yeah, but and it wasn't even that. I mean, I have to say that none of the people in the legitimate places where I auditioned, whether it be through this company or I did, what's the other show that's back on now? Full House. I mean, Jeff Franklin, he's in my book too. I never got hit on in those situations, but there was no doubt that I would be sent on a lot of auditions in legit places, like at Universal in someone's office. And one guy wanted to act out a love scene and it was getting late in the day and I was scared because I could feel that people were leaving. I mean, this was legitimately in the main like producer's building too. And then another guy had a similar situation in his office. And then Ray Stark, who was a huge producer. I mean, he produced Funny Girl and all those major movies of that era. He told me I had to be willing to wallow in the dirt of Hollywood to get ahead. And then he invited me to his weekend home in Palm Springs and he said, I will help you get ahead. And then I got out of there and called my agent. I was really young then. I was like still like 23, you know, really early 20s. And I said, did you set this up? Because she had to set it up like that she was getting kickbacks from girls that if they went along with him. And that was it. I never heard from her again. That was the end of that relationship. And so apparently I was right. I was more cautious maybe than other girls, maybe because my parents instilled the fear of God in me, like not for myself, but, you know, they were just, you know, they had me like so afraid that someone was going to do something because I had this old fashioned Southern upbringing that I was afraid. So if I felt like there was a dangerous situation and sometimes I felt like with a photographer or something, I would get out of it. But I mean, I had guys invite me to a hotel room. I would never have done it. I never put myself in a situation where there was danger. I definitely got hit on and was chased around some offices and was just lucky enough that nothing horrible happened. But yeah, people showing me body parts. I had that happen along the way. Wilt Chamberlain did that to me. And there was a house party at his house, and he had me climb into this little private like room that he had within the middle of the house. Like it was just like that was very much that end of the 70s era, that modern look. And we got in this little room that you had to crawl into. And next thing you know, I was looking at something I didn't want to be looking at. Like I crawled out as fast as I can. He didn't try anything though. He didn't push himself. I was lucky. That's all I can say. I was very lucky. But a lot of these women, these big stars that are coming out with Weinstein, like I'm really upset that as a sorority of women, the same group that fights for equality and everything else for women, that they could have stood together as a group. I'm talking these big names like the Paltrows and the Jolies, and they could have literally have done something sooner. And I know it's harder for the young up and coming actresses. I was threatened to be blackballed by one guy. I know that it's harder, but if you have these big names, like I heard Angelina Jolie, he tried something with her and then she just never did another film. Apparently she survived without him. So I just think if they would have gotten together, these big people that definitely talked amongst themselves, they could have brought this guy down. So it's just, in my opinion anyway, that's I'm not there, but you know, to be afraid in this day and age when you do have a place to speak out is, it was different back in the 80s for sure.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of different lessons. There's a lot of different stories, some fun, mm-hmm. some serious,
it is fun.
And some inspirational. So, Rhonda, you know, in this day and age, a lot of people go, oh, you know, in the age of Wonder Woman or whatever, you know, she's an inspiration for women. And I think that your life and the things you've done and the pivot you've made in successful being in show business, then make the pivot to be a successful entrepreneur who writes her own ticket. You know, I think you're an inspiration or an example for
Thank
anybody.
You, Jim.
You
Thank
know, for,
you. That's
for
really
men,
sweet. I
women,
really
whoever. No, it's true. I mean,
in
show business.
It's such a good interview. I want to put this interview up on, hopefully we're recording it and I can post
yeah.
it again. I love your interview.
You're so
thank
sweet.
You. I really appreciate it. No, but it's true. I mean, you're saying such great things. You make me think of a lot of other things. But I just had a really great life. You know, of course, you know, health. You know, just worried about all these things. It's like, oh, you get older. But that's just part of it, too. I feel very lucky to have a great husband, 5 fabulous dogs. I'm living in my Barbie dream house. I love doing charitable events for breast cancer, and I've done things for, you know, Go Red, you know, for Women's Heart, the silent killer for women. And I'm getting ready to be made ambassador for SPCA of Tampa Bay next week. And so I love to do things with the dogs, too, because, you know, they're a silent little, they can't speak out and tell us what they need. So I try to stay very involved with my community, and even our local politicians, someone who's running for mayor. I've had some fundraisers at my house before, who I think is very important to get into office. So I love doing that. I love being involved, and you get to a certain place in your life where you can give back, and that's rewarding as well. Because, you know, it takes a long time to get there. So it's nice to give back too.
So before you go, you got to give us a little bit of the Rhonda up all night persona.
Oh, I love doing it. Are you kidding? First of all, the name of the book is Up All Night. And the name of my Playboy layout was Up All Night. And it's a good stigma that I have created. And I literally am up all night because I'm a nocturnal kind of animal. My husband goes to bed like at 11:30 and I get into bed, but I don't fall asleep till about 2. So Up All Night has been part of my life, and I'm glad I created that character. It's perfect for me. And by the way, I actually have, we haven't come out with it yet, but we have a line of sassier intimate apparel called Up All Night, which are rather Up All Night, that we're making its debut sometime in 2018. So I'm excited about that. It won't be on HSN because it's a little sassy for them, but it'll be available in other stores and boutiques and online. So I'm excited, you know, to do something that's a little sassier than that. But you're right. I do have my new line on HSN called Odd Dream, and that's all athleisure and loungewear. And I love doing that because that's, you know, most of us, 90% of the time, we live in a more relaxed life than style, and we can just wear, you know, our cute little yoga pants. And so I created this really great fun line called Odd Dreams, and just launched that. So I'm a busy girl. Well, I got a puppy
I think you're
staring
fascinating.
At me right now.
I enjoy you. I admire all you've done.
Thank
Look,
you.
If you have other things or you want to promote the book again, your people know how to reach me, and I'd be happy to talk to you anytime.
Thank you. I really just want to stay in touch with you for sure. I love your people. Maybe we can share some of those pictures and talk about the book because I couldn't leave my wrestlers out. Nope.
That was the thing that was fascinating. When we spoke this time and last time, it's like you don't have a wrestling background, but you understood everything perfectly. It was you're sharp like that.
Well, I got it. I got the whole mantra. I just got it. You know, I totally did. I do have a girlfriend named Tanea who's not. I don't know if you know Tanea. She goes under the name Rebel. Do you know her
right.
character?
Yes, Rebel.
You do know her?
Yes.
Okay, Rebel is a really dear friend of mine and a model, and has modeled for me for years. Now, I haven't been able to get her since she's really started this new career for herself, but she used to model for me at different conventions, and she's very acrobatic and has the most beautiful figure. I'm sure right now it's even crazier than ever before, but she used to do all these cartwheels and acrobatics and get people into my booth, and I love her. She's just a really good gal. But so she's known out there then. I'm really excited for her then, if she is, because I haven't really kept up with her career.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, some of the wrestling outside the WWE can be a little tumultuous, but no, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think everybody listening is nodding their head.
I would think that she would be. I wish she was. I mean, I don't know the political side to know how one moves into the WWE, but boy, she's physical and acrobatic and gorgeous she was a great dancer. She was a dancer in LA. A professional dancer, like on all the, these big variety shows. And so she can dance. So I would think that that's a big part of wrestling, is to be able to move really well.
You know, they should do that sometime. They should do that. You know, USA Network, they should do like a retro 90s night some Friday or Saturday. That would do really well, I'll bet you. I'll bet, bring back some movie, bring back like Duckman and all the stuff from the 90s.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be
Duckman. It would be. And, you're not the first one. I get so many fans, and there's like fan groups that love a show called Night Flight. There's fan groups that love Up All Night. I mean, they're even on Facebook. And these people ask for it. And it's like USA has gotten too serious. They were like so much more fun back then. They were so much more experimental. And I would think with all the channels and all the noise out there, it wouldn't hurt to do something that your fans are crying for. It wouldn't hurt, because even young people who didn't even grow up in that era, they appreciate it. I mean, I get so many, they're like, I was really young and I wish we still had that kind of TV today, because you ever go through the channels with all the channels that are now and say, God, there's nothing on. It's one reality show after another, and it's just like so scripted. The reality shows are so scripted, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
they're
not so real. And the formats are all the same, where at least with USA, or Up All Night, you never knew what you were going to get. You know, it was like we never knew what we were going to get. And I think that made it so much fun. It was more reality than the reality show today.
Yeah, I don't see why there's not some online platform that would do it, or some other channel. And I think even just one television event night would be huge. And then I bet you it could go from there. But that's just me. What do I know?
No, but you're right. I mean, let me tell you, my own YouTube channel, which I don't push enough, and I need to, which I have on the Fear TV YouTube, which has a lot of Up All Night episodes. We get tons of hits. So my husband has always said that basically the only way to do it will be online, because more people are watching online than ever before. More people are buying online than ever before. So that probably will be the outlet for it, will be an online, something online, and which would be really cool. Then we could produce it and have control over it, which would be great. You need to be part of it.
I would love that. See, that's why that would be awesome. That's why you're in the big house on the water in Tampa. That's why. I'm just sort of kind of near Lake Washington here in Seattle. That's why.
That's
that
cool.
Business entrepreneur mind. Well, look, I adore you. I think you're great.
Thank
and
you.
Everyone needs to pick up the book Up All Night.
Thank you.
And I think it would be a great gift for pretty much anybody on your holiday list, because the holidays are coming.
Lots
up, I think.
Of sassy, sexy pictures that a lot of people haven't seen. I definitely peppered it with a lot of pictures in there. So this is my Up All Night fans. and just a lot of pictures through my life that have never been on you know, they haven't been on the web or anything. So I know people who like that part of it. So I even kid and I say, even if you just like the pictures, you're going to like the book. and I'm very excited about it. So I thank you so much for chatting with me and having me back on. And we
anytime.
Can do it again for sure.
Sure, just let me know. Yeah, you just say when, and we'll make it happen.
Thank you. I really thank you. I know Jeff was, I got a good publicist, so all good.
All right. Well, look, Rhonda, thank you for being here on Wrestling Road
thank
Stories
you.
On the PW Torch Livecast. The book is, one more time,
it's called Up All Night.
Rhonda Shear, everybody. Thank you, Rhonda.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. I will talk to you soon.
All right. I adore you. Bye.
Okay,
there's
bye.
The fabulous Rhonda Shear, everybody, from USA's Up All Night. Next week, we will talk wrestling video games. So have all your favorite video game memories ready to go, and we'll talk about those. Find me online at Jim Valley on Twitter. And don't forget the Pacific Rim Wrestling Podcast. Me and Fumi Saito, it's sort of the Japan-American wrestling connection. So check that out. And we will see you next time here on Wrestling Road Stories on the PW Torch Livecast.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.